We are back for 2025, huh? Writer stuff podcast still going. This is going to be going into a year three, but we have added Jeff Circle in 2024, which I think was a good move. But we're gonna let this play out. We're gonna see how it can. Yeah. So yeah, here we are, January 25, and he's back for more. So Jeff Circle, what's going on?
I'm back for more cash, just like Tony Kornheiser.
Yeah, this is a money machine, people. If you didn't know, the podcast game is just rolling in dough. It's like an OnlyFans, but I don't have to take off my clothes, right?
Take that, Rogan.
Yeah, take all that. All right. So so tonight we are kicking off 2025 with KK Weekly, the author of the Sakat Saga, horror fantasy writer. Welcome, KK. Thanks for joining us.
Thank you. I'm just absolutely listening. I was waiting for the shirt to come off. Nothing happened.
No. Well, we're all audio, so technically you can say anything you want is going on, and we'll just figure out how to play it. I wonder. Nudity in an all audio broadcast. We're going to have to think of some descriptive words, but we're all writers, so this should work out.
Well, hey, as cold as it is here in Northwest Ohio, I'm not taking a thing off right now, but wait till summer.
Yeah. Summer's a different story. So, yeah, but awesome. I appreciate you coming to join us. We were talking earlier about everything from dogs to writing. Your stuff, I told you I love what I've read, and I started with the new one, Whispers from the Grave. Mm-hmm. But man, we're on the same channel with that. My Shattered Circle and Acquisitor books. Like I said, I tried to smash a police procedural up against demons and fantasy and horror. And when I opened your book up, I'm like, oh yeah, there she is. She gets me already. Never met. She gets me. So I guess let's start with, the basics. When we all get into this game, it's like, most of us have this movie in our head, or you got the idea that you can't let go. Out of all the ways to turn a page, you landed on horror and fantasy. How did that come about?
Well, without completely lying, it was by accident. So much so, I wasn't expecting it to kind of go into the occult horror. I always loved this genre. But it's the first time that I've written in this genre, because I've gone from historical fiction, nonfiction, and then this, and then Sakat, the first book was just one of those things. I think I had been drinking that night, and I was after coming home, and I was sitting there, and I don't know what happened, but I just start writing it, and I sent it to my editor, and she was like, okay, game on, let's go with it. So that's where it went, and it's going. Yeah.
So what are we having? Are we having writer's tears, or what gets this going, KK?
Are we having what?
Writer's tears.
Writer's tears.
Yo, drink a choice. Where do you start with? You rocking the bourbon or
me? I'm a vodka girl. Yeah.
What's the label? What's your label?
Honestly, I don't like really like burn the back of my throat. I like sweetness, so I always go with like the Pinnacle Whip vodka with cranberry juice or something. But I like it strong. I like it strong.
So just a hint just of the cranberry juice.
Color, and the rest of it is fantastic.
Well, if we're going to do something, you don't do it halfway. I settled on Tito's long ago. I can throw that on anything.
That's it.
So you went from historical fiction and were just like, yeah, horror sounds good. And your editor was like, yeah, let's do this. There's a definite trust there. Like,
yeah. Oh, you got this. And then I start writing it more so. And it was supposed to be at the beginning, it was supposed to be for young adult, like I was saying. And in my mind, young adult is like 16, 17, but maturity wise in this day and age, you like to think that they're a little bit further ahead. Come on, you have like kids, having kids. I'm like, what's the issue here? What do you mean I can't write this? And she's like, you can't put that in it. You can't put that in it. I'm like, well, then I'm not doing it. And so we changed it to adult, which suits me so much more. But I've definitely been pulled back quite a bit. Certain aspects, you can't do that. It's a bit much, and I let her do it, but she never leads me astray. So,
well, I mean, as somebody who has not taken a dive into that, I do wonder, like, that's a great question. Cause in the thriller business, it's pretty easy. Just blow stuff up and shoot people and have a car chase every now and then, and people are going to come back, maybe throw some witty one-liners in there and it usually works. But to have that discussion of, you know, what takes you out of what YA, as far as I'm guessing steaminess, I'm not thinking violence here. Like, I would love to know. I have you here. What is the line that you can't cross when you're writing for late teens?
Do you know what I always say? Do you know what? I got back from her so many times. She would write in red, remove, it's bordering on porn. Now.
Yes.
No. So my first ever trilogy, I said it was historical fiction. I always write for adults and I'm very descriptive. So what I've always said, that if you were to sit down with a notebook after having sex and write down what you did, would it be bordering on porn? I'm just asking. So then, well, you know, I always got a giggle when she sent it back to me. I was like, it actually wasn't that bad. I don't know what the issue is. So, but yeah, in this saga, I think the suggestive nature of, I begin it and then I go on to suggest as best as I can without getting into it, and it gets the gist across. But in my other series, I just go hellbound at it.
And yeah, I just hit it.
Hell yeah, I do. People love it. They're like, oh, yes.
It's just funny. And the idea, what was I watching? I was watching something. We're big on 80s and 90s movies at my house. Because, you know, as the great parent I am, I want my kids to watch good film. So I think, and this isn't pertinent to the conversation, but this weekend, the Saturday night movie was Critters from like 1986. And even my 12-year-old was like, this is the dumbest shit I've ever seen in my life. Like, what are you doing? What are you doing here? But there was something else. Me and my wife were watching something. It was another 80s, like old teen comedy, like a John Hughes thing or something. It might've been like Fast Times. And it was like, it was something. It was like, I'm watching it and I'm like, she's in high school. Like it might've been like, it wasn't the like abortion scene, but it was one of those like very sexual scenes in Fast Times. And it wasn't bad. This is the 80s. Right. And I'm sitting there and I'm like, I wonder if it's because I'm a dad now of a preteen that I'm like, this is very disturbing on some levels, that I'm like watching a grown adult, like Judd, whatever his name was, the older brother drool over the high school, like freshman walking out of a pool. I'm just like, ah, like, ugh. It's odd. I don't know. Maybe it's times change and maybe I'm super soft, but is that kind of where your editor was like, you can't do this? It's like, yes, I can. I know what high school kids are into.
Yeah. I'm like, yeah, maybe born in the 80s wasn't the best thing, I guess, for writing skills. I need to move up with the times. But I get what you're saying about that. You have to think about when that film came out. What age were you when that film came out?
Oh, I'm happy, kind of happy to say I was only like 7 years old, I think. That was like 83 or 84, right?
So I was going to say John was 17.
No way. It's only gray on the sides, like on top. A, it's still there, and B, there's a little bit of color left. So, but I mean, I remember high school, and it was like, yeah, they can handle stuff. Like, kids can handle stuff. I don't think you want to, but they do. Right?
Yeah. Well,
apparently they can't handle KK's porn. So
yeah, they can't handle KK's porn.
That's where the line is.
Would it have been different if instead of like human teenagers, you were like, one's an elf and one's like a werewolf? And they're like, oh, it's fine. They're not human. It's all
mental. It's okay.
They're mystical creatures. It's fine. They can do whatever they want. It's nature.
You gotta look at it. Actually, it wasn't that even that. Honestly, I don't have many humans in this series at all. Just as like prey, really, people who get in the way. But you know, it's no. I think she didn't leave me astray. I'm gonna give her that. If there's a time and a place, and this saga wasn't it. So, or isn't it? I should say.
Yep, I get that. I tried to push it
that little bit more with every single book. I tried to push it and push it and push it, but she's on to me.
Yeah. Well, who is your editor and where is she with and how long you've been with her? How's that going?
She's Barbara Ellis Unico from Black Hawk Literary. Yeah, I've been with her for a long time. Yeah. Right. Yeah, I love her to death. She's great.
Give us some advice for anyone out there who might be listening who is having trouble with an editor. How do they make that relationship last longer and actually work with them while still trying to do what you're doing with, you know, still trying to push it? Like how do you just use your best judgment on knowing when to draw back a little bit? Or are you just trying to push the element, the envelope, or push your editor and say, come on?
No, I think... Honestly, I think the only way that you can work with an editor is if you have a good personal relationship with them. You know, you have respect for their craft. They have a huge respect for yours. They're not pushy. They're suggestive. You can always say, no, I'm sorry, you're not right. Work with me on it. Send it back and say, I would prefer if this was kept in it. I would prefer if this was taken out, blah, blah, blah. And, you know, if you have a good editor, they will definitely take on board everything, because at the end of the day, it's your book. They're only trying to lead you in the best possible way to make it better than what it was when you sent it to them. So,
yeah, but I mean, what's better is, you know, it could kind of be subjective. So in the end, do you do what you want?
In the end, I do what I want. But I absolutely take everything what she says on board. Yeah. Yeah.
And it's really important also, now that, as we're talking about this, because there's a lot of people that don't realize, you know, I guess, you know, some people who have written books and other people who have written it and are just like, I'm a writer now and I can't wait to get published and get famous. And mm-hmm. and they don't realize, because I've had conversations with many people at either signings or conferences, and they're the ones that get mad if nobody's buying their book at the signing, and they're the ones that think that they're supposed to be famous because they wrote a book, but they can't. It's like they don't figure out that you're not an island. A writer is not an island. You've got to be able to take the hits, and you've got to have somebody that you trust enough to slice up your work and tell you where you're wrong. And the fact that you've got a long-standing relationship with this editor is something that I hope people take to heart, is that you're not doing this alone. And if you do, you're going to fail. You just are.
Yeah. Oh, for definite. I tried to do it for quite a while. All my dogs are howling. I don't know what's wrong.
I don't hear them. You're good.
I at the beginning, when I first started writing, God, it was a long time ago. I was doing it on my own. And it's a lot when you start out on your own. It's when you start out first, it's a lot to try and navigate. As years go on, you get older and you learn all the different avenues, you learn all the different things that go with everything, the marketing, the background, what you have to do, and blah blah blah. It is so much, and it's kind of daunting when you start out and you write your first book and you do it yourself. And then you understand the huge impact it is for marketing. And then all of a sudden you've been doing it for so much longer and you have the support behind you, and you can't even remember. Oh, you can remember. It was horrible of doing it on your own. Oh, I remember that. I hope I never have to do that again, because it takes up so much of your time. And it actually is. It can definitely kick you when you're down, especially if things aren't going well for you. So, you know, that's something else I would say as well. You know, don't get disheartened, you know, if you you feel like you've been kicked in the balls, I guess, at the beginning, because it is hard, especially if you have the mentality, I've written it now, where is all my money and where is all of, why aren't people seeing me on the street? Stop it.
Right.
Like that. Come on now. So, you know, it takes time and it takes patience and it takes a lot of growth in a person to understand, you know what, you work your ass off and you might just get there, but don't cry about it if you don't.
Yeah, most people do after they go on the podcast here. I mean, that you're going to be unrecognized. You know, everyone's going to know who you are in about 30 minutes.
Yeah, you're probably going to need like a security detail after this if you want to go to like Walmart or something.
Mm-hmm.
I'd close that window behind you.
Yeah, exactly. Yep. Yep. They're going to, instead of Swifties next year, it's going to be the year of the KKs.
KKs.
I'm not okay to it. I'm okay, Lord.
Oh, that's funny. I'll often get hit with that joke.
Never. I hope it never starts.
But the what you just said, you hit on one of my notes, one of my many notes. I was reading stats for publishing over the last, because I do research. That's what I do, right? So on average, Amazon publishes 1.7 million books a year. So literally the three of us are three in a million, right?
Yeah.
So like you said, I mean, this business can be absolutely daunting, and you've got several books out. You've been doing this a while now, as you just stated. How do you tackle this business and how do you keep your mind right?
I have people around me who keep me level, and generally myself, I am really good at this kind of thing. And I'm really good at on the phone. I'm good at all that kind of stuff. But even at my book signings, my book launches, I very, very seldom I will read. I won't read out loud because I am so self-conscious. I'm anxious. I'm always that kind of person. So I can't even read what I've written myself. And there's that kind of little thing that kind of gets me all the time. And I don't know, I kind of gone off now. Did I totally just go off on something else? What was your question?
Oh no, it's flowing. How do you tackle this business? How do you keep your mindset?
John said he did the research and Amazon, did you say publishes 1.7 million books a year?
That's the stat I saw, but it was on the internet. So
on my calculator here, that's 4,657 books a day.
Whoa,
that's consistent. Yeah,
that's scary.
Wow.
I mean, think about it. Like that. I mean, that is a daunting stat. If we're in this business, hopefully either we don't know it or don't care. But that can be a load to carry on your back. So I just thought it'd be interesting to see how you manage to do it. Advice for other people out there, just keeping yourself straight and keeping, like you said, but as you said a minute ago, like it can get you down, like if you don't keep the right perspective.
Yeah, it really can. And honestly, it's good to have people around you who are not going to fill you with shit and say, oh, your book was fantastic. Be truthful. If you didn't like it, you know, get people to tell you. Because you don't want to be pushing something that you are going to be ripped apart online. That will absolutely rip your heart out. You don't want that. That is the greatest fear. I don't care what any writer says. The greatest fear is not reviews. I think the greatest fear is going on to some online site and seeing a picture of your book and seeing hundreds of people say horrible things about something you spent a whole year and something of your time trying to put together. I can't even imagine what that must feel like. I think that would be absolutely like heart-wrenching. So, you know, you need those kind of people around you as well that are literally going to say, you got to change it, or it's not my kind of thing, maybe rethink it, you know, that kind of way. But, and then it's up to the person whether they go ahead and do it or not. You know, it's all about perspective, and it's all about your surroundings. It's all about your community of friends that you have with you along the journey and your family. So I've been really lucky so far. So, you know, but that didn't mean I wasn't terrified at the start. My first book, I feel, was a disaster.
Yeah, you know? Well, you kept going. So that's...
Yeah, and you know what? Personally, I felt, maybe it's because I've been writing for longer now, my writing style has changed. I've grown as a writer. So when I read my first one, I read it and go, oh, sweet mother God, why? But at the same time, you know, I've had one person like take quotes out of it and put it on the tables of our wedding. Do you know what I mean? So it did appeal to people, and people really enjoyed it. But me personally, now where I am, I could have written it so much better. Do you know what I mean? So, but that's all in hindsight. But, you know,
yeah, that's awesome. It's funny though. You go back and read stuff. I can't do that. Like, I've tried to do it before. I can't. Like, unless I'm writing a sequel or something, I'm not going back into that book, because I've read it 6 times in the drafts that got up to the fact that before it went to the publisher. I'm not doing it again, because I'm gonna cringe within like 3 lines, guaranteed.
I always get a copy once it's released, because I like to have them. My kids like to have them, especially our 8-year-old. She gets very trilly. She insists on every year her teacher for Christmas, she has to give her teacher a book. I'm like, okay, you're so proud of me. I'm so grateful, but okay, you know. But to me, it's kind of cringeworthy to me, because that's the kind of person I am. But, she's all excited. But I will never read, once I send it to my editor to go to that publisher, I never open it to read it again. I'm like that as well. I know the story. I don't want to. And then I have some people say, oh, my God, you did that. And I'm like, I guess I did, but I don't remember writing it even. You know, that's the kind of moments I like, where when I have to go home and go, what the hell was she talking about? And I open up like, oh, I get it.
You know? Oh, yeah.
Yeah, that's the vodka cranberry. Yeah.
That's a vodka cranberry. Yeah, that's right. That's right.
Hey, so you don't go back and read. I mean, I get that. What about reviews? You touched on that a little bit. Do you go through those reviews now?
If I go online, sometimes I like to go online at least like once every 2 months, just to see where the Amazon stats are. Do you know, like what John was saying about the Amazon? This is, you know, my category might be like 350,000 in this category. Where am I in this category? So okay. At 350,000, if I'm at like 1,000, I am vodka happy. Give me a drink. Happy day. I'm good with that. So, and I do tend to look, I look at reviews then, and, you know, and it's good to read what people think, you know, good or bad, whatever. It's always good to know. And you have to take everything, you know, good or bad.
So, Have you ever engaged in any of the conversations with any of the people who made reviews to either defend your work or say thank you?
Even if it's defending, I think it was, I think it was just once. That's not boasting. That's like one review that I seen. And I did actually, I did write back and say, you know, I appreciate your review, and I know that there's a book out there for you. I hope you find it, and, you know, thank you for your time. I will never be a shit to anybody who has, you know, made the assumption that, you know, this book is going to be for me, and it wasn't, and that's okay, you know. But in general, there's no point, you know, whether people like it or they don't like it, they still took the time, you know, to read it, and it is what it is. So, and I've always
it's like arguing,
like you were saying, millions and millions of books. You think about it, there is not one person in this world who doesn't have an author that they can't find, You know what I mean? They might not like you, but they'll probably love somebody else. And I've always said that. Or they might love you and might not like a book that you like, you know, and then you can't understand it. You're like, what do you mean you don't like Paula Quinn? You know, it's kind of like, you know, she's one of my favorites. So when I hear it, I get offended for Paula. I'm like, how dare you suggest what you think? But everybody's different, you know, so.
Oh, John and I get that all the time. We understand.
Yeah. I'm daily defending myself. That's like, it's like arguing on Twitter. It's like, you didn't like me, but out of 1.7 million, you bought my book. So thank you. That's it. We're good.
Yeah.
Catch the next one. And I'll plug it. I did, getting back to, the book. I love there's a quote on your website. You have witchcraft on your lips from Henry V. I love that. But like we talked about earlier, like that's that you're the vibe that I saw in your books. It's just right on point with what I like to read. But I did want to ask you, cause I looked up Sekhmet. Sekhmet. So an Egyptian demon, correct? War and healing. Why do they always do that? They're.
I know, but you know, actually,
Sekhmet,
and there was actually a tomb I believe found last week. I put up on my Facebook because I was like, oh my god, you gotta read it. That a tomb was actually found that is literally, directly, for her. And it was very interesting. But the original, and there's Sekhmet. It's all different. And but she was actually the scorpion. And she had like a scorpion crown. And what her whole thing was that she would heal from a scorpion bite, or like she would give you breath, she would give you life. Or the opposite, she would take life. So, and then I was reading it going, great, that means my Sekhmet is a total psychotic bitch. But that's where I got the name, because I love that goddess. I love the history surrounding that Egyptian goddess.
That's one of the questions I had, because you took me right to the edge of a massive rabbit hole, because I was like Sekhmet, I'm gonna look this up, because I love the demonology, I love the occult aspects of it, and so I'm searching her name and I'm looking at it, and I find this Reddit thread. What do you guys think of working with Sekhmet? Anybody had a good thing? I was like, oh, click, got to go down this one, and found a temple like dedicated to her in Vegas of all places. I'm like, and I had the moment, I was like, I'm gonna stop right here, because otherwise 4 hours is going to go by and I'm not going to have anything to show for it but some weird ass Reddit pages. But the, you know, when I was researching this stuff for Shattered Circle and Inquisitor, there's some pages you open, it's like, that's kind of dark, like that part's a little dark. Were there any parts in the books that you've written and the research you've done to get the occult right that you're just like, nope, that's a door I'm not walking through? Or like 2 o'clock in the morning, you just wake up, you're like, oh, that's some scary shit I was reading today.
Yeah, sometimes I'm like, ooh, maybe I can. And then I'd be like, huh, maybe I shouldn't. But so I like to stay on the line of kind of like, you're hitting on it, but you're not hitting on it. Like, behave yourself a little bit. But I like to get, there's, especially in, like, there is parts in this book, but Sekhmet in the first three books, Sekhmet in the first book was, I love her. She is not a good character, and I love her because of it. And I know that a lot of the readers, just, she was their favorite. She was my darkest. She would set you on fire. She would like literally rip your face off just because she was bored, you know, but that is the character that she was. And that's why I wanted her so dark. And I loved her because of it. So in this one, she was stuck in another realm, comment based off of what happened in the third book. So I needed her to stay where she was for this book because I need her to come into the next one. I need her to behave right there. Lucifer is mad still with her, so he's happy to leave her there for a little bit of peace and quiet because Lilith and Lucifer are, you know, they're my king and queen of the underworld or whatever, but Lilith hates Sakesh. Sakesh is just an absolute nightmare. But yeah, I think if you were to go back and read the first one, you would definitely be delving into your Reddit pages.
No, I'm good. Until yeah, exactly. I'll have to, you know, go smudge myself with sage afterwards or something.
The first, actually, when I did one of my book launches, I actually gave everybody tarot cards and I gave everybody sage that I had made specially with white roses infused.
Nice.
I said, you know, and then everybody read their tarot before they left, and then everyone went home and I was like, well, you have your sage, good luck.
Yeah, just in case. Yeah,
good luck.
Yeah. It's just funny when you're reading that, when you're diving into the occult and you start reading about the rituals and the practices and all that stuff, you're just like, and then there's always somebody saying, well, something will follow you home. It's like, cut it out. And then you write it, you write this scene and you wake up the next morning and be like, shit, like, how close, where's the edge here?
I know. Where did I go too far? Where's my Yeah. Because you know, my our 8-year old, you know, she's very much into she's very much into what I'm into, to be honest. She goes into my office and she's like, "What? And what is this crystal? And what is this one? And what is it?" So I do collect a lot of stones. I have the spirit stone, I have a lot of chakra stones. I have, so you know, it kind of, you walk into my office and it has like stuff. It's funny. I tell my husband it's for purposes of when I'm writing, because then if I'm looking for something, I can look at my bulletin board and say, okay, so I need to know what this herb will do in a potion like this and this and this. So in my office, there's like the wolf prayer. There's like all these different magical herbs. There's all this. And my daughter's convinced I'm a witch. And she tells people, exactly. She's a witch. So I just go with it. I'm like, uh-huh, okay. But
yep, not a witch. I'm a practitioner. Cut it out.
Be respectful. I'm just writing books. Stop telling lies. Yeah.
Though I would love to see, like, you know, we can claim stuff on our taxes, right? Oh, it was research. You know, I just happened to need an AR in October for research. I needed a new AR so I could work out some scenes and be comfortable with that platform, right?
Taxes. But I what would happen to somebody if that happened. Yeah,
exactly. Yeah, but yeah, the moment the IRS comes and audits one of us and they're just like, you claimed $7,000 worth of rose quartz for research.
I love to do that.
Yeah, my character is a bourbon aficionado, come on.
Exactly. You bought a bar and claimed it as marketing.
Yes,
I need those bottles of vodka, damn it.
Yeah, I'd hate the circumstance, but that'd be a fun conversation to have with like a new agent.
Imagine. Oh my God.
Let's do a field trip down to my bar and let me show you.
Let me explain it to you.
Yeah, like, it's how it works.
Nice. We said we wouldn't keep you past commute time and we're pretty much right there. Jeff, you got anything else for us?
Keke, what's going on next for you?
I am halfway through Hidden Magic.
Hidden Magic. Yes. All right. Keep an eye out for that, everybody.
Yeah.
Awesome. And I've got on X, your author, KK Weekly, Instagram, your KK Weekly, and you've got kkweekly.com. Is that about cover the channels?
Everything online is just KK Weekly. It's just awesome. Easier. My maiden name was Kelly. So it was Karen Kelly Weekly.
And that's where
I'm from. Yeah.
Yeah. That works. Awesome. Well, thank you very much for coming to join us, and I hope you come back again.
Well, that was fun.
We try.
Absolutely. Yeah, we'll see. When we send out the invite, we'll see if you come back or not.
Okay, I'll do whatever you want.
Awesome.
And I might actually, if I had known, I could have like poured myself a stiff drink while I was sitting here.
We haven't done that yet. We haven't started drinking on the podcast yet.
We need to.
We should probably start instituting that. Yeah, we should have a drink per episode.
Oh boy.
Because he had the bottle out. He was like, we need to.
Oh, yeah, we'll call that the KK rule. We're going to start the KK rule. Yeah.
Okay. That must be a KK rule. I feel like it's a must. Okay. Yeah.
Coming at you from the dossier speakeasy and writer room. So,
that's right.
So wild down here.
Awesome.
Well, hey, have a great week. Thank you so much.
Thank you for having me. Thank you for coming on, and good night, everybody.
Good night, everybody.